Radio Prague News.
A man is in a very serious condition after setting himself on fire on Prague's Wenceslas Square. No explosions have been heard for the last 5 days at the munitions depot in Vrbětice. And the Czech National Bank has kept its key interest rate at the historic low of 0.05%. A man is in a very serious condition in hospital after setting himself on fire in central Prague on Tuesday night. The man, who is 56, doused himself in a flammable liquid and set himself alight at the top of Wenceslas Square shortly before midnight. Passers-by attempted to put out the flames with jackets before a fire extinguisher was found. A spokesperson for the police said the man had been on a day release from a Prague 8 mental hospital, but had not returned in the evening. No blasts have been heard for the last 5 days at the munitions depot in Vrbětice, a police spokeswoman said on Wednesday. The latest spontaneous explosion occurred last Friday night. Pyrotechnics experts will only start clearing the site and removing remaining ammunition after 9 days of calm. The depot, where around 7,000 tons of munitions were stored, first exploded in mid-October, killing 2 people. Later, continuing blasts have prevented experts from clearing the depot. The Czech National Bank on Wednesday announced it would keep its interest rates unchanged at the historic low of 0.05% and would continue intervening to keep the exchange rate at around 27 crowns per euro. Last month, the bank said it will continue intervening against the crown until 2016 to curb the risk of deflation. The bank's key 2-week repo rate has been kept at the current level since November 2012. An analyst for the home credit loans provider told the news agency ČTK he was not surprised by the move and suggested that foreign exchange interventions could possibly end in a year's time. The firm Uniles, part of the Agrofert group owned exclusively by finance minister and ANO party leader Andrej Babiš, has won 8 contracts for logging and wood sales from the state-owned forestry firm Lesy ČR. That is more than any other company, bidding for a total of 35-year contracts from the state-owned company. Under the contracts, Uniles can annually log some 300,000 cubic meters of wood. Mr. Babiš has come under criticism over the contracts for his firm. The opposition Civic Democrats said this was a case of a massive conflict of interest. The Czech-based car manufacturer TPCA is planning to let go some 500 agency workers in March, a spokesman for the company said, giving decreasing demand for its new models as the reason. The car maker, which produces Toyota, Peugeot and Citroën models, now employs around 3,700 workers, some 800 of whom have been hired through agencies. However, the firm expects to produce some 220,000 cars next year, some 10% less than previously thought. And the Czech Republic will provide communist-era secret police documents related to Slovak citizens to Slovakia, according to an agreement between the Czech Republic's Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes and the Security Forces Archive and Slovakia's Nations Memory Institute, signed in the Slovak capital on Wednesday. The digitalized documents will initially only be made available for researchers of the Slovak Institute, its chair Ondřej Krajňák told reporters. The volume of documents to be transferred has not been determined, according to Czech officials, who said it would depend on requests from their Slovak colleagues. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The end of the week will be mostly overcast, with occasional rain and daytime highs ranging between 7 and 12 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, we look at how the fall of the ruble could impact the Czech economy. And Czech tennis star Tomáš Berdych has announced he will take a new coach next year. Later on, we look at a major Czech producer of glass Christmas ornaments. All that coming up, so please stay with us. With low oil prices and EU sanctions hitting the Russian economy hard, the country's currency, the ruble, tumbled to a record low against the US dollar on Tuesday. Interventions by Moscow, including a steep hike in interest rates, led to a slight recovery on Wednesday, though trading was still described as volatile. Given that some 4% of the Czech Republic's exports go to Russia, what impact could the ruble's collapse have on the Czech economy? That's a question Ian Willoughby put to David Marek, chief economist at the Czech branch of Deloitte.
I would guess that the most important influence on the Czech economy would be through declining imports to Russia. And according to our share on Russian imports, I would see a possible impact on Czech GDP in terms of 0.2 to 0.5% of GDP in the coming year.
And what industries in particular in the Czech Republic do you think are likely to be hit?
The most impacted could be especially machinery, because machinery products are the most, they have the biggest share on the Czech exports to Russia. So industrial products, especially machinery products.
But aren't Czech companies doing business with Russia already being hit by the EU sanctions imposed over Russia's actions towards Ukraine?
It's true that we can already see an impact of EU sanctions against Russia. For example, in October, we saw exports to Russia declining by almost 20% on a year-on-year basis.
Even before Russia's annexation of Crimea, the country's economy was already in trouble, and I guess doing business there has been risky for a long time. Are there mechanisms in place under which Czech firms can guarantee that they receive payment, like, for example, some kind of insurance?
It could be difficult, especially for companies exporting to Russia without insurance. It's possible to acquire export insurance as support provided by the Czech government, but some exports are not covered by such an insurance. In some cases, we could see that payments can be postponed or in some cases don't deliver at all.
I know it's not your area, but how do you think the situation in Russia will play out? What do you think will happen with the ruble in the coming days or weeks?
It's hard to predict because we are in the middle of storm and looking back to 1998, the previous Russian crisis, we can still be at the beginning of something much bigger. So without a different approach of Putin's government to for Ukraine and Western countries, and with a further fall in oil prices, Russia can suffer much more.
David Marek, chief economist at the Czech branch of Deloitte, speaking there to Ian Willoughby. Moving now to the world of sports. After months of speculation, Czech tennis number one Tomáš Berdych announced he will have a new coach in 2015, Venezuelan former player Daniel Valverde. Valverde, who was part of the coaching team headed by Ivan Lendl, which led Scotsman Andy Murray to triumph at Wimbledon and the US Open, replaces Tomáš Krupa. Berdych made the announcement on Tuesday on Facebook. Jan Wellinger has the details.
That Tomáš Berdych was searching for a new coach was hardly a secret. While the 29-year-old player, ranked 7th in the world, has seen considerable success throughout his career, he was part of the Czech team which won back-to-back Davis Cups and regularly qualifies for the ATP Tournament of Champions, he's still missing a Grand Slam title. In 2010, he came close at Wimbledon, but lost. That is one reason, perhaps, why Berdych originally sought the services of legendary former player-turned-coach Ivan Lendl, who turned around Andy Murray's career, for example, and saw him win arguably the finest silverware in tennis. But Lendl, it turned out, couldn't meet such a commitment. In October, the former world number one met in Prague with Berdych, but turned down the offer to work as his coach, saying he would be unable to meet the busy schedule due to other activities. Czech radio reported that Berdych then allegedly contacted Australian Tony Roach before settling on Valverde, who never made much of a mark on the singles tour, just 727th spot. But he played for Venezuela's Davis Cup team and was described by Lendl as an extremely hard-working and dedicated professional with an excellent understanding of tactics. In Lendl's words, when Valverde was part of the Murray team, he learned to listen to him carefully, as Valverde knew Andy Murray better than he himself ever would. For Berdych, reaching an agreement with Dani Valverde became a realistic option in November, after the latter left Murray's team. He had reportedly increasingly taken a back seat with the arrival of the player's new coach, Amélie Mauresmo. Some critics may question the move, arguing that if Berdych originally wanted a so-called super coach along the lines of Lendl, Valverde isn't that, at least in terms of his own past achievements as a player. On the other hand, he led the British men's tennis team, spearheaded by Murray, to gold in 2011 at the Olympics. No small achievement. Otherwise, tennis is in something of a super coach era, at least regarding a handful of top players who want to learn from the legends before them. First, there was Lendl in 2012. Then Boris Becker became Novak Djokovic's coach in 2013. Stefan Edberg became Roger Federer's for 10 weeks in 2014. And in women's tennis, Martina Navratilova is set to coach Agnieszka Radwańska part-time in the new season.
Jan Wellinger with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, Marketplace with Jan Richter.
With Christmas just around the corner, a search is underway in many households' attics or basements for ornaments that will, in due time, decorate the Christmas tree. In many families, trees will be adorned with the colourful glass globes, spikes, figurines and other baubles, whose tradition in the Czech Republic goes back to the times of the Great Depression. One of the traditional producers of Czech Christmas ornaments is the firm Ozdoba CZ, based in the East Bohemian town of Dvůr Králové. One of the owners is Miroslava Juklova, who explains the origin of the company.
It goes all the way back to the year 1918, when our great-grandfather started his business with glass beads. After 1933, he then began producing thin-walled blown glass ornaments in the form we still produce them now.
The shift in production came after the Great Depression. A government program run by a state glassmaking institute offered unemployed glassmakers courses to retrain them and teach them how to produce Christmas baubles. The company's founder, Václav Berger, also joined the program.
He originally made glass beads that were exported to India and other countries where this was good merchandise. But then the region of the Jizera Mountains was hit by the Great Depression. Many glassmakers were unemployed. They had a lot of these beads on stock, so they figured they would use them to make ornaments such as angels, locomotives, and the like. And they would hang this on Christmas trees. But then a state glassmaking institute opened courses for the unemployed glassmakers to teach them how to make thin-walled ornaments of the same kind they made in the German town of Lauscha, renowned for its glass blowing.
Miroslava Juklová says the state also helped the entrepreneurs with sales.
They were first retrained, and then the authorities looked for contracts for them, mainly abroad. And at this time, our great-grandfather opened two factories, one in Bila Třemešná and other in Trotinka, that produced this type of ornaments. But he wasn't a member of any guild or anything. He would always work on his own.
The family business took off, and all four of Václav Berger's sons joined the firm in different positions.
He had four sons, and each of them worked in the family business. One of them became a glassblower, two were businessmen, and the fourth studied technology and contributed with several technological innovations. For example, he designed a more effective burner, and he also created a clip, which is used to this day. That's the clip with a little spring that's used to hang the decorations on the tree.
The company prospered until 1948, when the communist authorities nationalized the business. The production in Mr. Berger's two plants grew. In fact, the bulk of the Christmas ornaments were sold abroad, in the United States, the UK, Switzerland, the Netherlands, and some other countries. Only about 10% of the production was sold on the domestic market. Miroslava Juklova says the success of the East Bohemian Christmas baubles is owed to the original idea of the state authorities in the 1930s, which, besides providing retraining courses, also involved several Czech artists in the production process.
When the Glassmaking Institute opened those courses back in 1930s, they worked together with a number of renowned Czech artists, such as Professor Jaroslav Brichta, who designed the ornaments. That, along with the craft of the Bohemian glassblowers, made the ornaments popular with foreign clients. Our company makes lots of figurines based on those designs, and they're still very popular.
After the fall of communism, the business was returned to the descendants of the founder. However, the family decided to launch production in a different location, as Miroslava Juklova explains.
One factory ceased to exist in the meantime. The other one, in Trostinka, was given back. But when we got it, it was stripped of all the equipment and the building itself was quite run down. So the family decided to buy other premises and start from scratch. They only had some of the original figurines our great-grandfather saved from the nationalization, and some silver as well.
The firm was officially restored in 1995, and the first few years were very successful.
It was definitely in the time after the Velvet Revolution, around the year 1995, when the family company was revived. In that period, Christmas tree ornaments were really good merchandise. But then in 2001, the US dollar sank, which made it more difficult, but we were still prosperous. In 2006, even before some of the big Czech glassworks collapsed, this one company went under that sold our goods, and from one day to another, we lost some 80 or 90% of orders.
But the firm Ozdoba CZ survived. It was able to find new clients abroad and also shifted its focus on the domestic market.
We had to let some of our employees go, but then we hired a new export manager who managed to revive some of the contacts and brought in new orders. So thanks to this, we survived the years 2007 and 2008. We also searched for new clients on the Czech market, and we were successful. In fact, the interest among Czechs in glass Christmas decorations has been growing in recent years.
Today, Ozdoba CZ still produces baubles based on the original pre-war designs. Miroslava Juklova says some of them have not gone out of fashion and are still very popular. In designing new ornaments, the firm looks to latest fashion trends.
We certainly follow fashion trends in clothing and in home architecture, and we adopt our collections to match the style that is in for the season. Last year, we went to the Christmas World Fair in Frankfurt, where our painters found some inspiration as well. Also, our customers come to us with requests of color spectrums, and we design models that are then approved by them.
Miroslava Juklová says that this year no extravagant colors are in fashion.
This year I think red is very dominant, which is a traditional color, and also white, which was highlighted at the Christmas World Fair as the color of winter and frost.
In recent years, Czech producers of Christmas ornaments have had to face growing competition from China. Chinese baubles are usually plastic and much cheaper. But Miroslava Juklova from Ozdoba CZ believes Czech customers will always prefer her company's products.
As one of my colleagues says, Christmas comes around every year, so hopefully we will always have work. But there is a difference between our products and those from China, because if it's really painted on glass, it has more glitter and style. Chinese products are usually plastic, although they have come up with blown glass ornaments, but they're not really elaborate. Our advantage is in the decor. I don't think the Chinese designs are something people would like to put on their Christmas trees.
Miroslava Juklova from Ozdoba CZ, ending that edition of Marketplace by Jan Richter. And I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to write to us, then please write to english@radio.cz. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.